Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. We're in a little series in this chapter of 12, which we've entitled, Fear Him, Cheer Him, Hear Him. Fear Him, Cheer Him, Hear Him. Fear God the Father, cheer God the Son, and hear God the Holy Spirit. And so open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, and let's see what God has in store for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to my heart and through me, Lord, to each one of us. May your spirit teach us this morning, and may we hear you. And where man's voice becomes prominent or dominant over yours, Lord, block our ears, shut our hearts down, that we will not know or even retain that. But may your spirit speak, that we would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In Jesus' name. Amen. Fear him, cheer him, hear him. The context from Luke chapter 11 was that the religious leaders called Jesus working by the power of Satan. He cast out a demon of a man who was mute, and they said, you're working by the power of Beelzebul. And Jesus actually said to them, you're the ones who are working by the power of Satan, the power of darkness. You're living in darkness. The light of the world is standing right in front of you, and you're so blind that you don't even see that light. So great is your darkness that you don't see it. And then when Jesus was eating with the Pharisee at his house, and the scribes and Pharisees were there, Jesus didn't ceremonially or ritualistically baptize his hands before he ate the meal. And they were outraged at this. They couldn't believe that Jesus wouldn't do this. And Jesus pronounced 6 curses, 3 on the Pharisees and 3 on the scribes. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Now, we've been talking about what that hypocrisy was. That hypocrisy was false religion. Believing that they have a relationship with God, but being so far from him. Believing that they have a relationship with God, that they know the true God, but they didn't. They rejected his son. And so we get to chapter 12, and we see Jesus warning his disciples, be careful. These religious leaders are going to want to trap you and kill you. They're wanting to do it to Jesus, and they ultimately did. And they're going to do this, want to do it to the disciples. And ultimately, all except John was martyred, was killed for the gospel. And so Jesus warns them, don't fear man, fear God. And that was our first section in the first part of chapter 12. Fear God, not man. Fear the one who not only kills the body, but can destroy your body in hell. God is the one who sends you to hell. And we said, fear God. And to fear God means to worship him, to love him, to hold him in great reverence, to stand in awe, a holy fear of God. God the Father. And then last week we said, cheer the Son. And that was the confessing. Jesus said, if you don't acknowledge me before man, then I will not acknowledge you before the angels of God in heaven. And we spoke about being a confessor of Jesus, believing in your heart and confessing. And so we said, lifting his name, hailing his name, proclaiming his name as Jesus and Lord, your Savior and your Lord. And we said how important Lord is. So many more times in Scripture than just Savior. Savior is a beautiful thing. He saved us, but he must be your Lord, your King, whom you worship. And so today we get to hear him, and that is the Holy Spirit. God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's how we worship him. Holy, 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 the Holy Father, whom we fear with a holy fear, the Holy Son, whom we cheer, who we have to confess with our mouths, and the Holy Spirit, whom we have to hear in order to know the Son and know the Father. So the passage today is Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. And I've asked some of the gents to read for us.
And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven.
So here we see Jesus saying that you can speak a word against the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus himself. That's the term Jesus uses. For himself, Son of Man, he uses the term Son of God. You can speak a word against him and you can still be forgiven. In fact, we can blaspheme God the Father and still be forgiven. Although the first three commandments, What's the first commandment? No other. Yeah, you sure? No other gods before me. Second one? Anybody in the house? The first three are all about no. No other gods before me. No graven images, no idols. And the next one is do not take my name in vain. So we worship God. Yeah, God says, Jesus says that if you even blaspheme God the Father, you can be forgiven. By God's mercy, He will forgive you. It's a terrible, horrible sin to blaspheme, but you will be forgiven. You blaspheme the Son, you can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that is the unpardonable, unforgivable sin. What is Jesus saying? You see, when you use blasphemy, to blaspheme God, is when you disrespect God for who He really is. You see, Jesus said, "He from the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So when I slander the name of God, when I use the name of God the Father or God the Son loosely, what does it say about my heart? It means my heart's attitude towards God the Father and God the Son is loose. I don't hold Him in high reverence, in fear, or respect. And so I blaspheme, I slander His name verbally because my heart and my life actually slanders Him. If you have a high respect for anything, you're not going to slander it with what you say, because your heart has a high respect for it, and honor, and holy fear. And so that is what blasphemy means. But Jesus says you can be forgiven. You don't have to fear and say, "Oh, you know what? X amount of days or months or years ago, well, this is what I've done for so long." God forgives through Jesus Christ. That's His mercy. But why does He say, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you can never ever be forgiven? Given. What is Jesus saying? Remember our theme in fear God the Father, cheer God the Son, and now hear God the Holy Spirit. We cannot know the Father but through the Son. We cannot know the Son but by the Holy Spirit. And so that is our only way to salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. And if we cannot get to Jesus Christ but by the Holy Spirit, and if we have a low esteemer, low regard, in other words, we say the Holy Spirit comes to us and says, "This is Jesus Christ, this is the gospel," and we say, "No thanks." We blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And therefore it is impossible for us to have the Son who gives us forgiveness before the wrath of God. And so we have the wrath of God upon us. We have no forgiveness that's on the cross of Calvary, which is beautiful forgiveness and grace when we've rejected the Holy Spirit and therefore hear the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Fear God, hear God, cheer God, but hear God, the Holy Spirit. Very often, I'm sure you've heard people say, "Listen to your heart." And even in churches, you've heard some preachers say, "Listen to your heart." Should we listen to our hearts? What does the Bible actually say about the heart? Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9.
"The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?"
If that is the heart, should we listen to it? If that is the human heart, the condition of the human heart, it is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, or desperately wicked, some translations say. Should we listen to our hearts? Who can understand it? Literally, that means who can know how evil it can really, really be? When Adam and Eve sinned, and we've inherited now Adam's sin nature, we've now depraved, and our hearts are desperately wicked. We were all born into sin. Every single one of us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And our hearts are desperately wicked. And so I've heard people talk about it. We've had one of our verses of the month. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. But what's the key part of that passage? Delight yourself in the Lord. I find all my delight in Him. But what does the human heart focus on? the desires of my heart. But if I delight myself in Him, if my heart delights in God, then I'll be aligned with God's will and His desires. But the problem is so many human beings, so many times what we do is we say, oh, I want to get the delights of my heart, the desires of my heart. So, hey, Lord, why don't you come and be a part of my life a bit here so I can actually get all your blessings, but I don't really want you. I don't really desire to delight myself in you. What I want is I delight myself in all these blessings. And therefore, my will is not God's will. My desires are not God's desires. I remember when I was in school, very often actually, when I was younger particularly, teachers were allowed to do it in those days, and they would grab me by the ear. And my teacher would shake my ear and say, what is this? Cauliflower. What is this? What are these made out of? Cauliflower. No, 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 ma'am. It's my ear. Yeah. And so, but what was the teacher saying? Is this actually an ear, or is it something else? Because you're not listening. You're not using it to fulfill its purpose. It's an ear. You're not listening. Hear the words that are coming out of my mouth. Romans chapter 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Who allows us to hear? Who enables us to hear? The Holy Spirit of God. We cannot truly hear or understand and comprehend the gospel unless God, the Holy Spirit, enables us to do that. Otherwise, we will just superficially respond. We will either reject, or we will superficially, like we said earlier, oh, what's the desires of my heart? Those are the benefits. All I want are the benefits. And that's why in the parable of the soil, we see there's the hard soil, and the seed comes, the gospel comes, and there's no response. But then we see three, the majority, who actually hear the gospel. They respond. But we see the majority that actually responds to the gospel. Ultimately, they fall away. Why? Because it was superficial. Because the challenges and the pressures of this world and finances and money, and there's no root, and the sun comes, hardship comes, and it scorches it. And it wasn't a true commitment. There was no root. And only one soil that the Bible says understands. The word understands is only used with that one good soil that has a root and bears fruit. Meaning, we can only continue and persevere in the gospel if we truly understand the gospel. And the only way we can understand the gospel is when we hear God's Spirit speaking it to our hearts and our minds. And what the Bible calls circumcising our hearts, or circumcising our ears, Jeremiah chapter 6. And therefore we can hear. Because we're actually born with a spiritual defect, every single one of us. And we cannot hear until God's Spirit circumcises our ears and our hearts so that we can respond and understand the truth of the gospel. That's why the Bible says it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this even, this faith is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. God, the Holy Spirit, by His grace, has come to us. You see, we don't seek after God, naturally. Human beings, with our heart's inclinations of, we want certain things. Anybody would want a good marriage. Anybody wants good relationships. Anybody wants good health and things to go well, perhaps in our finances and our job and all those kind of things. And if we're promised, well, if you come to Jesus and you can have all of those things, we go, okay. But my desire isn't Jesus. My desire isn't God. It is, I want all these things to be fixed up. And that's the seed sprinkled on the rocky ground. That's the seed sprinkled on the weedy ground. And we think, okay, for a while I can get these things sorted out, but I'll become disillusioned and say, actually no, all these pressures and all these problems are still coming, and I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not actually saved. I'm superficially saved because my desire isn't God. It's the byproducts. This is what I'm looking for. Not God Himself. But the truth is, neither you or I have a desire naturally for God. And only God's Holy Spirit can open our eyes to see how depraved we are and how desperate our need for God truly is. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus is the one who came to seek and save the lost. He's the seeker. In John chapter 6, verse 44, God the Father is the one who draws people to the Son. And in John 7, or John chapter 3, and verse 8, 7, 8, and 9, really, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he's a Pharisee, a religious leader, and he says, you cannot be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And here he says, the Holy Spirit is the one who, like wind, brings the work of this rebirth. Look at what John chapter 3 says.
The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
So we love when we read through Psalms through our 5x5. My God is in heaven and he does whatever pleases him. And as the Spirit comes, the Spirit blows wherever it pleases, wherever he pleases. We hear its sound, but we cannot tell where it's coming from. And on the day of Pentecost, it's exactly what happens. There's a sound from this mighty rushing wind. And those 120 are baptized. The Holy Spirit comes. We see the tongues of fire. They begin to proclaim the excellencies of God. And all the crowds come to see what's going on. And as they speak by the Spirit, there are many that say, we can hear them. We can understand these intelligible words in our own native tongue. But then there are still many that go, they're just babbling. They're just drunk. They don't understand. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. And how he does that is a profound mystery. It is an absolute profound mystery. It's the reversal of the Tower of Babel was Pentecost. Remember in the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11? And all the people, God had said, now be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and fill the earth and spread out along the earth. And they disobeyed God. They stayed in all one place. And so Genesis chapter 11, they begin to build this tower. We're going to get to God our way. And that's what mankind does. You go all around the world and you'll see that man has made God in their own image. This is our way to God. These are the benefits we want to receive from God. But there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to Jesus Christ, and that is by the Holy Spirit. And as they build this tower, God throws them into confusion. But they're not truly seeking after God. They're disobeying God by doing exactly what they're doing. And so God throws them into confusion with all these different languages. But then on the day of Pentecost, we see a reversal of that. And God brings together that they can understand only those who hear by the Spirit, who hear the Spirit speaking. Others go, they're just drunk. No one comes to the Father except through the Son, and no one comes to the Son except by the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 36, we see this heart changed around. It's a heart that we heard in Jeremiah that says, man's heart is so deceitful. Look what God does.
And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh.
Notice, we don't do this. We don't say, Lord, take my heart. Here I receive this heart. But God is the one who gives, who does all the work, all the saving. When Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Is he saying, what are these, cauliflower? What is Jesus saying? He who has ears to hear, uncircumcised ears, ears that hear. Jeremiah 6, you have circumcised or uncircumcised ears and an uncircumcised heart, a spiritual defect that you're born with. But if you look at Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, five times over, John tells us, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What the Spirit says. And so hear my voice and put it into practice can only be done by God's grace and his Holy Spirit that comes. And we are wise to build our houses on the rock. Only wise by the Spirit of God, not by our own inclination, by our own wisdom and our own ability, but by the grace of God giving his Holy Spirit so that we can understand. And so we are to fear God the Father and cheer God the Son We can only do that is if we hear God, the Holy Spirit. So, Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Let's look at that verse one more time before we close.
And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven.
So you understand? We cannot confess Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And some of us go, well, anybody can say Jesus is Lord. I bet you I can go to a Muslim and say, can you say these words, Jesus is Lord? You can go to an atheist and say, repeat after me, Jesus is Lord. And I bet you they can do it. But remember what we said earlier. Jesus said, by the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember what we said about blasphemy? It's an overflow of the heart. And so you can't say something and believe it unless that's what's in your heart. No one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And so Romans 10 verse 9, you have to believe in your heart and you have to confess with your mouth. That was last week's passage. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. 1 John 4 and verse 2, what does it say?
By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God.
So what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? It means to not listen or reject the Holy Spirit of God. And if you have to ask yourself the question, have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? Have I committed the unpardonable sin? If you're a believer, no. Because the only way you could be a believer is by responding to the Holy Spirit who's helped you to understand the truth of the gospel. When a preacher speaks or a friend, however you came to know Christ, if you're walking with Christ, sometimes the same person is saying the same words to you and you hear nothing. And then one day, all of a sudden, you understand. And it is only done by the Spirit. And He is the revealer of truth. He reveals Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot know the Father if you don't know the Son. And you cannot know the Son if the Holy Spirit has not illuminated Him to you. God the Father reveals the Son. Christ the Son reveals the Father. And God the Holy Spirit reveals the Son. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord, that he came to this earth, surrendered his life, and he died on the cross. A message that has gone out to the four corners of the earth. Some have rejected it. Some have responded to it and then fallen away. But some have accepted that message and it's transformed their lives dramatically. And now they fear you, Father, and they confess you, Holy Son, because we've truly heard you, Holy Spirit. Lord, let us be in that category. Help us, Lord, we pray. Open our eyes to hear and to listen and to persevere in that faith, we pray. If there's anybody here today that has never responded to the Holy Spirit of God, to the message that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life, the only way to the Father, the only way to eternal life with Him, where God Himself is the reward, we pray that today you hear what the Spirit says. Repent and believe. In Jesus' name, amen.